Good afternoon and welcome to the Park and Recreation Committee for the Town of Discovery Bay. We have roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken. Let the record reflect that all members are present.
All right, thank you very much. Any public comment? Is there any public there?
No comments.
Thank you. All right. As this time, we'll close public comment. Let's move on. Regarding draft minutes, any changes or any comments?
Move to approve.
Second.
All right. All in favor? Aye. Aye. All right. Moving on here, we'll turn it over to staff. D1, please.
Yes. With respect to D1, with the other committees, we brought about at their first meeting an opportunity for the position of chair to rotate if it's so desired. Some committees have done that. One committee did not do that. So if you are interested in rotating the positions of chair and vice chair at this year, this would be the time to do it.
I'll pass the chair over to Director Pease.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Chairman Pease.
Next item, D2.
It was brought to my attention by Jim Addison, but there's been interest in a future skate park in our community, and he asked me if we could bring this before the committee to re-explore that avenue, so I'm going to turn it over to him to make his pitch.
There you go. A couple of years ago, if you all remember, everybody was wanting a skateboard park, so I kind of led the pack and talked to you guys in there, and all I wanted at the time was to get kind of a sign-off and a buy-off that, yes, we do. We should be looking at a skateboard park, and it would be okay to have one in one of our parks. And then the board said, yes, let's go ahead and look at it. Second go-around, I came in, and I thought we were just going to be looking at the parks and where we're going to put them. And some of the other folks that wanted to help out and do all that stuff kind of went by the wayside. But in the last year or so, the bell's been ringing again by tons of people, again, because there's nothing to do here in Discovery Bay, or very little to do for Discovery Bay. I think we all see the kids skateboard parking in all the parking lots and over in Safeway and all that kind of stuff. So by community command again, I was asked if I could bring it back before the board and see if we can button down a few more things. Freddie's not here, obviously. Oh, there he is.
Hey.
Hanging out down there. So Jody and Freddie are here today, and they want to say a couple words as well. But I think it's time that we do really take a strong look at all the things that we can do with our community as far as bringing more activity for youth. I'm putting together a horseback riding clinic over in Marsh Creek Stables for kids. We're doing a lot of stuff with the schools right now and ramping things up. And one of the things that we keep hearing over and over and over again is we need a skateboard park, a BMX park. So I think it's just time that we open the door again and see what we can do to help out. Go ahead. I'll pass the torch.
Okay. I'm Jody Gianni. This is my daughter Tristan and my boyfriend Freddie. I've lived out here for 20 years, and I think Discovery Bay is a great place. It's definitely lacking in stuff for kids to do. You guys probably all are familiar with our family story. Freddie's son, my stepson, Tristan's brother, is the boy who took his own life at the beginning of January in our home. And even before that, Jesse always, he loved to go to the Brooklyn Skate Park. He would always say, it'd be so great if we could have a skate park out here. And him and Freddie had talked about it. Kind of in grand theory, like it'd be great if we could do this. When Jesse passed away, he really wanted to do something to give his life memory here in this community. And we feel like it's really, it's needed for our kids. There's so much to do for adults out here. obviously every weekend there's stuff for adults, and a lot of the activities do include things for children, but something specifically for our kids that they can call their own. We know it's a long, long process and a very expensive process, but this is something that we really want to do and would love to see the community come together and support for us to be able to build a skate park, hopefully in just a few months.
Freddie, want to say anything?
Yeah. Do you want to say anything, Tristan?
I'm Jesse's dad, Freddie. My son was an active kid, you know, loved doing a whole bunch of stuff, jumping around, running around. He has tons of friends out here, you know. I think a lot of them always came over the house and, you know, always ran around, jumped around. The rope swing that eventually got cut off. They didn't have, their options were starting to dwindle. Some of the kids are getting older. Some of the kids are coming into the neighborhood, youngsters. And so these new ones, which was, you know, Tristan, Jesse, and, you know, they're all coming into the neighborhood. You know, eventually they're going to get into some kind of mischief. And we're trying to redirect that energy to where it can be in a positive flow. They can, you know, instead of jumping from roof to roof, go skateboarding, doing something positive, trying to, you know, build some kind of crafty mechanism for them. It really means a lot to me because I think just because I knew his friends and they know what they all agree. We're like, there's nothing to do. It's boring here. You know, if they have to go, if they're going to go do something, they have to get driven there, chaperoned, or go to a friend's house. I think kids need some kind of outlet before they get into more mischief. And I really would love this to happen.
You know, and again, you know, 2 years ago, I mean, you guys are, besides Carol, I think, you two guys are the only ones that were there. I mean, it's all new to you guys. I know Matt and I have talked about it. You know, as soon as he came on board, we talked about the one up in Brentwood. And, you know, I personally have looked at probably 15 or 20 of them. Interesting, you know, talking to all the communities, just about every community has one except ours. And all the communities, there's very, very little problems with them at all, even Antioch. You think they're because it's farther away, they go, there's a little graffiti here and there, but, you know, everyone seems to respect it.
What do you think of any locations, or where do you think
where's
the need at, everywhere?
I still think, in my opinion, the place that we talked about, which would be the best option, would be
somewhere,
you know, over in that corner right here.
On set.
And again, I'll tell you why, because, A, it's not only the fences around here, but it's separately located. If you had it at Cornell Park, it's going to be a little tough for all the kids over there. If you had it over at Slifer Park, it's going to be tougher. As you know, Chris, because you and I worked really hard at getting this, this is why we have the community center. This is why we struggled so hard to have the community center. And not only would we have a fence around it now, I envision having another 10-foot fence around it when whoever locks up here goes and locks that up as well. So the problem with having it anywhere outside here, you're opening up to vandalism, you're opening up to more costs. I just see the community center as a perfect place to have a skateboard park.
What about Ricotta Park over there? Too far away?
Well, I mean, you're still...
it's by Safeway.
Yeah.
But that's cool.
What about... the only problem with Ricotta or Slifer is they're county parks.
Oh.
Yeah, we're not controlled. Yeah. And we have run by Dillon Park. I wanted to do one at Slifer Park, but they missed it.
Yep. And the only other one we have is Cornell Park in here.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
how do you envision paying for this?
We'd have to do fundraising. You know, I think I've talked to you about it. I've already looked into this, you know, quite extensively, and looked at a lot of different companies and. You know, like Matt can tell you, you know, the ones with the cities where you have, you know, taxpayer money. I mean, those things are like $2 million. I mean, they're digging and doing all that stuff. We don't have that luxury. I envision having a about 100 by 100, you know, cement slab, maybe a little bit less than that. Most of it is portable for a couple of reasons. One, it's the least expensive that we can do to make it advantageous for everybody. And if there's anything that is decided to do go over there, and eventually, you know, $5 million comes our way or $100 million comes our way, and we decide to do something with it, well, then it's portable and you can just kind of, you know, remove it and put it somewhere else. Even at that, you're looking at $100,000 just to do portable stuff. And you don't get that much.
We have a lot of people reaching out to us after Jesse's death, that because we have talked about the skateboard park had come up a few times and we talked about it in some media and so forth. And a lot of people have come forward and expressing their desire to help, either physically digging holes or by making donations. Freddie works in construction and has some contacts with some various companies that may be able to help get the cost down, either partially by donating or something along that line. We realize that the burden of raising the funds will fall largely on us, but I think that so many people in our community were kind of touched by the whole story of what happened with Jesse, not just the end of the kind of the beginning of it too. But I really think that, you know, I think that enough people understand it and have wanted it for a long time. And like Jim said, kind of somebody started the ball rolling before and it kind of fell off. We're not going to fall off this bus. We're not going to get off this bus.
And have you guys talked to All of God's Children? They've got 3 acres that they're doing nothing right now.
They don't want to do anything with it.
Just through the chair. When we construct the pool, we can't do volunteer help. We can't go through, you know, that. And the reason for it is because the law is with public works project, you must pay prevailing wage. So, you know, it's great to have Uncle Ernie come in and help, but public works projects, that's done. So I just wanted to make sure you...
And that's why we're here, to start the process and to learn along the way, because obviously there's a lot of things we don't know about this kind of process. Jim's very knowledgeable, obviously, and gives us
You know, that, I think it's going to be a learning experience for, you know, all of us to get in there and keep seeing what it's about. And
well, I think the first thing that would need to be done is to establish a nonprofit or of some sort, or whether it's under your umbrella in order to accumulate funds. The unfortunate thing, the town has no revenue source for recreation. This community center runs about $200,000 a year in the hole. And as much as we'd like to put a park out there, just the reality is we don't have the funding to do it. And our hands are tied a little bit on getting, you know, labor donated or materials donated. There's some obstacles we have to go over. So my advice would be, I think if you'll find that, I speak for myself, not the rest of the board, I'm amenable to a skate park, but we have to have a funding source first. That's the issue. And you know, whether it be here or somewhere else, I don't see a problem here. I think what you need to do at this point is to go out into the community and start to get that going. It's a little premature to bring it to the board to have any kind of decision, because you can't agree to something when you don't have a funding source.
Well, when you look at the pickleball people, I think we can kind of follow the same format they did. And correct me if I'm wrong. You have a place for them down at Cornell Park, right? You said they could go down there?
Redo the existing tennis courts into pickleball courts.
Into pickleball,
not
yeah.
Build a separate pickleball facility.
Right, okay. So then they're doing the same thing. They've got the area to do it. They've been blessed. And now what they're doing is fundraising.
And there's a plan. There's at least like a site plan that kind of shows that,
yep.
You know, if there's a future court.
Yeah.
But that's about as far as the board. We didn't fund it, though. It was just the board said.
Well, we're not asking for any funding. I mean, let's get that right out on the road. We don't have to keep talking about that. We know we have to raise every penny ourselves. We don't looking for a dime, no dime. I do know from doing a lot of events, and you guys are all know the same thing. In order for people to want to donate money, you've got to have something tangible. So again, you know, what we decided to do with the board meeting was, the board said, yes, we recognize that we need one and we can have it in one of the parks. Second thing is to do is nail down where we think we can have it. Once you have something tangible, then you can go back to the public and go, we've got something. You can't just say, no one's going to donate in thin air. It's like, yeah, we're trying to get something together. Were you doing it? Well, wait, let me know. That's going to go right down the hole real quick. Right, Mike? Yep. So, first step is, let's see if we can find some place that's suitable to have the park, have it blessed, and then we can go get the fundraising.
We don't have a general plan yet for the community center and to try to recommend a spot, say that spot.
Yeah.
And things change 2 to 3 years from now. We have something coming down the road. We may or may not have to move our city off, town offices because of adding a new filter system. That would entail doing something to this building or somehow, some way, where, we don't know, to add offices over here.
Yeah.
And I would hate to say, well, we were going to put a skate park there, but sorry, after you go out fundraising, I said, well, we can't go there because we've got to put a building over here. So it's kind of a chicken and the egg situation at the moment.
Where do you think you want to, I mean, knowing what you know now, where do you think you want to put the offices? Do you have any idea at all?
We haven't gone down that road yet. We just know that that's a possibility within 3 or 5 years.
Yeah.
What you might want to do is a little bit more homework and put together some sort of a recommendation. Now, we've surveyed the community. You don't have to ask them for any funds, but you can survey the folks and see what kind of monies they might want to contribute, get a sense of it, and then put together a cost estimate. I'm going to say, well, it's going to cost $100,000. Well, it's not specific enough. You know, it costs this much for these things.
Well, I've got all the breaks.
That's
not exactly what you want
to do. Yeah.
And
then you, unfortunately, would have to put in the overhead that the town would have to supervise it. So the cost get phenomenal. And once you'd have that, you'd have a list of possible donors or corporations. Come back to us with something a little more tangible, something that's in, you know, in writing. The board, this committee could talk about that in a little more depth, and then at that point decide that we could take this in front of the full board to get a blessing on a spot.
Mm-hmm.
But just to go there now and say, hey, tell us where we want to put one over there. Okay, fine, we'll put it over there. I don't think that's fair to the community to say that without it.
Maybe we could get a two or three locations and like have this aerial parcel map and just kind of drop it in. Hey, that's a 75 by 75. That's a 100 by 100 that would fit there, just to kind of give us a little better idea of where that might drop in. I think I know where you're thinking of putting it, but these guys may not. So, and then
we talked about before.
Wait a minute. What about for the concerts? What about putting it up in? There's a lot of ideas around that, but maybe we could share that with the board or with this committee. And then have the breakdown of the different pieces, and say it's going to, you know, the first phase is, you know, the excavation, and then the concrete's going to be another 50, and so then we go get the 100,000 or whatever we need. Then the board have a better idea of what those costs are. And, you know, I think the three locations is important, or, you know, have some sort of feedback to us. If you came up with the money tomorrow, or would you?
Yeah, it's hard to say without adequate planning. Just specifically say, well, that's the spot. Well, maybe it's the best spot, but until your research, you don't know that it's the best spot.
And well, I'm not even asking for the spot. I forget which one of you guys asked me where I'm thinking about it, but Chris doesn't. So I'm just saying where I thought now.
Right.
Well, I'm not saying that's where I want to go. I'm saying that's what I think would be the best thing. So I think to get to the point where you are, it'd probably be best working with one of you guys through this process, not come back, because you guys only meet once every 3 months?
No.
When?
Once a month.
Once a month? Okay.
Every other month.
Every other month.
What's that?
Every other month.
I knew there was something there. Okay. So maybe I could work with, you know, one of you guys, and we can kind of poke around a little bit more and see what we got going.
I think we'd like to know we have the support of the community. your board here, before we go out and start, like Jim said, trying to actually collect physical funds.
Oh, yeah.
We can't just say, give us money to do this without, I think having a couple of sites identified in case this one doesn't work because the city has to move. I mean, there's always going to be changes within a community, so having to not do something now because it's something that might happen in 5 years ago could be a little short-sighted sometimes. But we just need to know that if we go out and make this effort, that there's going to be a product that we can deliver at the end.
Yeah, I have no problem voting for a state park that's publicly financed, mm-hmm. Privately financed, excuse me. I'd be all in favor of it, not a problem. But at this particular point, to get to say that, well, we are going to allow you to build a state park here.
Right. That's
we're not there yet. But I think if you come back and you say, as Chris mentioned, we analyze this spot, we've analyzed that spot, we analyzed this spot, we're okay with all of them, our preference would be this one, and here's some numbers on each of them. Now we have something tangible we can work with, we can discuss, and now we can bring it up to the board and see if they can.
It sounds like one of the issues is we can say we've got three spots over here and one spot over there, but you still don't know what's going on over here, so we're still...
Through the chair. It's more than that also too. You have to have compatible uses. So you have to consider how do the skateboarders ingress and egress the particular park. This is going to have challenges because we have movie nights, we have bands, we have events that take place in this park, and swimming is compatible with it and tennis is compatible with it, but skateboarders skating through the crowds or the loudness of the skates, is going to interrupt the chi of the swimmers, and we can't hear the movie. And I'm just throwing things off the top of my head, right? So you may have a spot for something, and it may even work in the context of a civic campus here. But how disruptive is it going to be to the occupants that are trying to conduct business there and the other activities that go in this park, for example? So, I would look at this area and meet with Mac, and Mac can bring me in as need be, and look at some other Cornell Park, or that's basically about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
unless we want to go somewhere and try to talk the county into doing it, and that's a potential possibility, is allowing the permission to do it, and then, of course, that would be between you and the county. But we'll work with them and to... see if they can come up with a diagram, and then we will fill in, here are the pros and cons we see with this particular area.
Yeah, that's fine, and I think that your comment is correct. I wouldn't discount the county at the moment. I would recommend that you guys make an appointment with Supervisor Burgess, go down to her office, discuss your thoughts, and see what her thoughts are and her staff is about the county parks that we maintain.
Mm-hmm.
And see if they've got a lot more money than we do. I don't know whether they want to park with any of it or not, but again, if it's privately funded, so that might be another avenue for it. Private coming back to us.
Yeah, we can do that too.
But I would come in with a plot plan to them as well.
Yeah.
So you might want to look at the other parks, and we'll provide input on what we think about that because we do have responsibility for maintenance of the park, and we don't want to have challenges in that regard.
Right.
So. So I think those are first steps.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, if you go to the supervisor's office, bring some paper, something written, diagram, analyze the park, something like that. You'll go a lot faster.
Yeah. I'll probably start with Leo and then move up to Diane.
Thank you so much for your time.
Anything else?
Thank you.
We'll let you get on with the rest of the meeting. All right, you guys, take care.
All
right.
Take care.
All right, we're going to move on to D3, discussion of front end.
Well, staff
has
received from DPG Design a conceptual landscape plan, which I turned over to Brian, and then they've also given a bid. But I'm going to let Brian take over on this and give you his thoughts and feelings about it.
Well, we've got a few issues out there. One is the repair of the masonry and repainting the front entrance. We have some preliminary bids from a couple of years ago, around $20,000 worth of work for that. Then you've got the landscape and lighting bid that they submitted. It's about $44,000. And the only issue that they left out were the spotlights out there. And that's something else that needs to be addressed. So we're for a total project, we're looking up in the probably $75,000 range if you go all out.
I think 75 to 100, something like that.
Yeah.
For the stucco only?
No.
No, for the whole project. Complete project.
Oh, okay.
The landscape plan is nice. I think just doing a combination of the two drawings. I like the planting on both, but I prefer some of the other plants mixed. What A and B can mix and come up with a good plant.
Yeah, right.
But I like what they've done.
My only concern on that, I was looking for more boulders because they don't need any maintenance. Put a couple of the big ones we have, duplicate those in a couple of spots to fill up some area if you don't have plants in. So my concern is if we add some nice plantings in here, then it just puts more work on your staff to maintain it. And
yep.
That's my worry that we, even if we had the funds today to do it, then how are we going to keep it maintained with the minimal amount of staff that we have?
Yeah, and we're real minimal right now.
Yeah.
I lost half my staff.
I think we should have
worked for Tracy now.
I've got a staff of two right now.
10-4.
Okay, well, yeah, we're not doing this tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I realize that, but...
So what do you like the most about the plan? I mean, both the two plans together?
I think the upgrading of the planting is a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I just think painting, you're not going to get the real bang for the buck. If you want the entrance to really be dressed up, the planting should go along with it.
What about the idea of, I mean, I like these... Can you take this and go, okay, if we did add boulders to, because they don't die, you don't have to water them, and you come back with kind of a modified plan with some boulders in there, is that potentially possible?
Would it save you an hour a week or 2 hours a week or whatever, more efficient with you guys maintaining that entrance would be important to me?
We've only got about 1 hour out there a week.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
So boulders, plus or minus.
There's no 2 hours.
I know.
Yeah, we're really... limited on what we can do. We have to, it takes 2 months to make a complete round for the landscaping.
I like the plant mix though.
So do I.
Yeah, all of them are.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But yeah, you're right. If you want to put in an A landscape, you need to have an A landscape staffing.
Correct.
And that's what we don't have at this point.
Well, what I'd like to see is that somehow we get a CIP project for the frame. So they can get it into the budget somehow. So that's there.
I believe we did. I believe
we did. Well, I think that money is going to come out of reserve, so there's no capital improvement money.
I think we were looking at PG&E funds, and we're going to be making pitches that some of that money in tonight's board meeting go to replacing the pool building. And then we've also got the upgrades of the pool. All that has to be spent with the reserve money for the community center. Anything that we do that's a capital improvement project, so if we're underwriting the community center with $200,000, then correct me if I'm wrong on this, Brian.
Is this really a capital improvement project? Is this really not just a maintenance project?
I believe it was $321,000 last year.
That we, well, we took in $100,000 though. To offset that. So it came out 200 and some change. But here's the idea. If we're taking 200 and change out of the out of Zone 8 to underwrite the community center, it would mean that we would have to use community center reserves, because there are no reserves in Zone 8, to supplement the operating costs here. And that way we're not taking the money out of Zone 8. So that we can use the money to do the landscaping or some other things.
But this isn't Zone 8, is it?
That is Zone 8.
Oh, the entrances? Oh, okay.
I tried. I had a legal review done to see if I could tie it into water and wastewater as the gateway to our water and wastewater community, and Rod said no.
What if we put a fountain in it? We use recycled water.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Do it.
I don't see. We have.
some reserves right now for the community center. That's not zoning money.
No, it's strictly for the community center.
Yeah, so I don't understand why we're robbing anything, because if we have community center money, we should be supplementing our money with the community center money, not the reserve.
Well, once the reserves are gone.
Well, there is. What we're doing is in order to have a reserve, which is about $400,000 right now, okay? And we're going to spend some of it potentially tonight to do the pool and a little bit to go towards the pool shed along with some PG&E money. That's going to leave us with about $100,000+ in our community center fund. That doesn't go for, that has not been used to go to operating costs, because we've been doing the operating costs with Zone 8 money. If we want to buy, in order to buy, add something to a park or to do this front entrance, we're going to have to pay for it out of the community center funds by putting that into the operating costs and not using that money and redirecting it over to pay for the entrance. I hope I explained that.
No, it's...
You did. I still have one of my favorite subjects.
So we take money from Zone 8 to operate.
I keep seeing emails.
So every year he has to work on $200,000.
But they were trying to take the reserves out of the community center. We have the reserves.
So we'll for the community center.
Community center, 400.
So it's part of the purchase price. We still have like 400 grants in there.
Right. And that's,
that could be used for anything. Or fix the pool.
What we think it was all we needed to use on the community center.
Especially here.
Yeah.
That's why
we can't do a front entrance.
No.
So.
Based on the emails that I saw, we should have had enough.
Yeah.
And the answer is yeah.
Here's what
I Yeah, or yeah.
Well, then we could put this on the planning stage. We can see, anticipate doing what? I don't know, when's the best time to do landscape stuff like this? Winter time?
Spring or fall. Late fall, early spring.
Well,
when the weather's cooler.
Then I would recommend that we set this up to do to have the project be done next spring, based on the fact that we get funding. The Hoffman situation is cleaned up, because that frees up some money, and that would give us time to go out to get some bids to refine this. You know, we'd have a year to get it ready to go.
Can the stucco and all that structure survive that long? Or are we just going to have to rebuild those walls? Or
obviously. The longer you wait, the more work there is.
Yeah, but those are block. That stucco isn't—it's not deteriorated wood.
The wires rusting through.
That
it is on the corners.
In theory, that a lot of that damage should be removed. I don't know.
Well, and maybe you break it into two component parts. You do the stucco and the painting part of it.
Yeah.
And maybe we do that 6 months out. Hopefully, we've got some funding to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're still working on this project. It's ready to go, and
mm-hmm.
funding is sitting there.
Let's put, would you make a note to put what you believe is the estimate you need to for that project in as a CIP project in Zone 8?
Mm-hmm.
So Dina can include it in the budget, which will now be approved by the board, if they so approve it.
I would put $100,000 down.
We were just thinking of doing the masonry and the painting.
Put two of them down. It needs
you
to
want
be
to fund the whole. You want to try to fund the whole thing.
Yeah, and
yeah.
It can still be done in stages.
Yeah, do it in stages, but it didn't.
Yeah, one big part. Bob, how am I going to get that done this year?
Unfortunately, it's all about work.
It's going to happen. Oh, you know, people are going to come in tonight and say,
"We won't be talking about this thing."
Probably. Well, I appreciate the update on that. That was a good thing. It's a good proposal. I like the concept. And if you can merge that, make it nicer, that's great.
Yep.
I would suggest looking at the large boulders that are down there and duplicating them. There's a couple of spots up high where you can just fill in. You can fill in as much area as this table in a couple of spots
mm-hmm.
with minimal plan and incorporate that in.
Yeah, like shadow links over there.
Okay, we'll go on to D4, which is the Green Play Draft Report.
I will turn this over to our Park and Rec Supervisor Matt.
All right, thanks, Mike. Okay, so in your packet, you guys got the results of the special board meeting that we held on February 21st. Just kind of generally an overview. If you recall, the intent of the workshop was to develop some potential funding sources from ideas on a list of over 100 potential sources that GreenPlay has accumulated over the last 30 years across the country. So they've kind of been tracking all different kinds of park and recreation departments, how they fund what they fund. And obviously, they broke it down into three categories. One that's currently being used, so what Discovery Bay is currently using to fund recreation, which we all kind of know is taking from Brian, so we can run what we need to run. And then the other couple of categories we would consider and possibly could consider. The consideration of our full agenda today, keep things moving along, would be to just seek some comments, feedback from you guys. There was no intent of moving it forward until we've had some discussion with that. The hope would be if you guys did approve it, we could move it forward. With the water stuff going on right now, it might be a couple more agenda meetings before we do it, but look at that. So anyway, if you did approve it based on our discussion today, then we'd possibly look at moving to the next step, which is talking about the pyramid methodology and needs assessment. So instead of, if you recall, doing this all at one time, having the guy come out and do it over a couple of days, we've split it into two categories. So this is the first piece. So I'm just going to open it up to you and comments.
Well, with all due respect to staff, this didn't answer a thing. We knew all this stuff. It doesn't have any priority saying, based on what I, the consultant, based on what I heard at a meeting, here's my recommendation. This is probably your best category to go after, et cetera. All he did was take what we talked about and just listed them. Ran out of money. What are we going to do with this?
Okay.
Yeah, I think his bottom line was, we're an assessment district and we need to do an assessment.
Yeah, assess it, yeah.
That's what I got out of it.
Yeah. Out of it, and after all the
right. The problem is that we don't have any funding for recreation. We're not tasked. We're tasked to provide recreation, but we don't have a funding source for recreation.
I know that. I deal with that all the time.
So, to go any farther with this, I don't know how we take it any further. These are all great ideas and concepts and stuff like that, but
we're implementing most of these things on this.
We're doing what we can do anyway.
Well, the way it was listed out was the first piece is all the fun stuff that we're currently doing. So
right.
How we're doing our kinds of things. The second and third piece was talking about funding sources that the town is not
right.
doing or possibly could.
Right.
So the idea would be staff would maybe go out. Let's just take the first one because I think it's up to staff to kind of prioritize if we were to take the second and third category. And again, just using his list, he didn't put in any particular order. So corporate sponsorships, that's something the town hasn't really considered but could consider. If you get a sponsorship for a particular project that you have, it could be something real simple or it could be something much larger. Talks about crowdfunding, talks about general purpose operating grants. Those are the kinds of things that the town doesn't currently do, but those are ideas of things that we could. And I think it's up to staff then to go through and go, okay, based on these things that other park and rec districts do or cities, if the town were to do it, what it might look like, and we could come up with kind of a plan of maybe we take corporate sponsorships out, just for example, maybe that's the number one thing,
yeah.
And we would figure out basically a plan to implement some kind of corporate sponsorship.
Okay. So if I'm hearing you correctly,
okay.
Staff would be willing to go through this list, put a little more work onto it locally here,
mm-hmm.
and come back to the committee with some
correct. That
some
was
better
the,
recommendations.
Correct. That was the intent, was to take all
okay.
the things and go, here's what we could, here's what we might want to, and then from staff, we'd go back and go, okay, you guys all think these were some good ideas in columns 2 and columns 3. We could go back through then and go, okay, so based on that, we would figure out, okay, we'll put it in this particular order, and here's some concepts that we could maybe implement based on your recommendations to try to start figuring out this funding issue, which we've talked about numerous times at these meetings.
Well, I think that the
That was the intent of the first piece.
Okay, well, the list that he's put together.
Right, based on
his
experience.
The entire board was present.
Correct.
So all of those were something that the entire board, at least the majority, agreed could be on the list.
Could be that, yes.
So I don't think we need to go to the board to decide which, should we take a couple off or not. I'd say leave everything on there.
Correct.
Let staff go and do whatever they want to do, and then come back whenever you get it to the point we can discuss it again.
Correct.
And we'll talk about it here.
And we can talk about, hey, here's something maybe we considered, and
are we looking for a dollar amount? Are we trying to get the $200,000? Is that the goal? Are we trying to look for an endowment?
I don't know. At this point, it's a little early in the game. It was more of just trying to get a sense of what you guys thought. I think the overall concept is to take this $200,000 and can we chip it away?
Okay.
And maybe it's only after we figure out a new plan based on some of this. Maybe we can start whittling it down to $125,000 a year. So that's a little less out of Brian's budget to do what he needs to do to do that. I think it would be important for the town to look at all of the things. So if somebody were to come back and say, well, there's nothing for you guys to do, you don't do anything, you don't have any money, we can go, well, we have a plan now. It's maybe even call it a little mini master plan. Okay, here's some ways we're going to try to pick off that $200,000 that we have to keep stealing from Brian every year.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the projects we're going to work on. This is what we're hoping to do if it all pans out. The second piece to it actually starts talking about the pricing for maybe not these projects, but for a lot of the recreation stuff that we're doing. So two components. One is to do kind of a needs assessment, which hasn't been done in a while. What does the board think we should be doing as far as recreation? And then from that, start talking about pricing. The one example that I read in the first Green Play report was the one on the tennis courts. If you recall, they used to be paying like a monthly fee to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, that was thrown out. And so now they've been playing for free. So if that had stayed, even if it was a buck a person or whatever, if you kind of take the Green Play's first report and you look at how much each individual person should have been playing, we could probably be sitting on $40,000, $50,000 a year that we just gave away. So the idea is to hopefully create a plan of, okay, just with recreation, here's what we can do to chip away. We've got some bigger projects here. We've talked about what the board thinks we need to be doing for recreation. And then we can look at how it's priced. If you're playing tennis, is tennis important as a swim lesson? Probably not. That's a frill. So that should be a major, you're paying like we do for Diamond Hills. You want to play tennis? It's going to cost you this much. This money that goes back to him to maintain the tennis courts and keep them up to speed. But something like a swim lesson, well, every kid in Discovery Bay, in my opinion, needs to know how to swim. So should we be charging $100 for a swim lesson? No. Probably should be charging $20 for a swim lesson, or whatever.
What are we charging now?
I think right now we're charging kind of market rate, which is like $50-$60. So, but again, if you're talking, trying to figure out what's the difference between a swim lesson and a tennis lesson, well, tennis is a frill. So we would have a philosophy and a methodology that says if it's this kind of program and it comes in, it will be charged at the rate that's on this pyramid. And if it's at the top of the pyramid, you're going to get charged top buck. Now we have the pyramid in the wrong direction. Or if it's not, and that way you've got some philosophy, you've got kind of a blueprint of here's how we're going to pick away at the $200,000, here's what we're going to offer, and when we do price it, here's what we're going to price it, versus let's charge $20.
Yeah, that's
probably not the true cost of doing the program.
I trust in your managerial expertise.
Okay.
And I would say that we don't need to have a board discussion to direct you to any certain things. I think you've got enough to just do it and bring back to this committee. We should be charging tennis for this much, and we should charge this and this and this. And I looked at corporate stuff and this and this and this. So
I'm thinking like Republic or the Gear of Venice, the trash hauling people I know. Those guys personally, I don't know why they don't have a plaque out here that says the Gear of Venice pool, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. So that would be my recommendation. I don't know.
Okay.
I absolutely agree that, you know, let's go explore these things as time allows. Let's start looking at a cost structure of fees that apply to everything, and then we'll bring them back. I think, though, that you have to bear in mind you want to charge a fee that the will bear participation.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't want to
pay
out
fee yourself right out of
participation.
So there's a balance that has
right.
to be
so you can wrap that price up, maybe a dollar is good, $2 or whatever. You know,
right.
Well, I mean, the tennis is an issue. One of the things that we're doing, and I'm going to talk to it in the context of this, is that we are reviewing our security systems and we want to get security padlocks. Now, what can happen is we can turn some of the fobs, if you will, that open the padlocks up. It could be if somebody, for example, swimming or tennis, or what, tennis is what I'm thinking, wants to pay X amount of dollars, their fob is good for a month, but they've got to pay an extra amount for everybody that they bring to the court kind of scenario. I mean, there's ways to figure this out, and we will.
Right. And that was kind of the intent, was to try to put everything in black and white so that the board clearly understands, staff has the direction, approval, this is how we're going to do what we're going to do, boom, we're good. And there's no more handshake stuff, and well, you did that for us last year, and now you're not doing it this year. And
clean
it up. It's good. Here's your philosophy. Your philosophy is not in stone. It can be changed at any time.
Well, we got to start somewhere. It has to be more formalized.
And that
we've been doing a lot of formalizing.
I think this is a good template for having a different revenue source streams, and
okay.
You could prioritize those or just formalize that.
Just reach out, do whatever you're in charge of.
That's
good. Bring back some.
Okay, you got that on tape, right?
Yeah.
Thanks.
You
notice that was the intent.
There was no funding allocated to that project.
Right. No, I appreciate that. That was the idea, was to get everybody to start thinking and start putting these things together and go, okay, do we have a plan that we can start eliminating?
You'll bring it to us, I'm sure.
You got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, we'll go to pause on parade and then update.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Matt.
I'm still on mic. I know you're resting, so.
I've put on pause.
There you go. Okay, so just an update. I'm sure, well, Chris, you've been talking to Marianne, so I don't know whether you're
a little bit.
So, Paws on Parade coming up on April 28th. It's a cooperative venture between the Lions Club, Marianne Wiesen, and the town. She's out wheeling and dealing. That lady can go out and find a sponsor wherever you can't find a sponsor. So, at this point, just kind of a real brief update. We're up, we're running, we're ready to go. She's got sponsors in a variety of different categories. She's got a $1,000 sponsor, a $500 sponsor, $250 sponsor, and $100 sponsors. So right now, she's sitting with two $1,000 sponsors. She got $500 out of Jim Frazier for the Howl of the Moon. For Paparazzi, she's got three in the 250 category. She's got two in the Bon Appetit $100 category. And she's got 7 vendors in the $25 category. So right now she's sitting with probably around $3,625 for money that's going to go towards dog park improvements. So we'll give her a little bit back in terms of getting that taken. She doesn't care how. When she's done, she's just giving us the money and turning us loose. So it should be a good event. It's from 9 to noon. I know she's still wheeling and dealing. I gave her till Friday the 20th to stop wheeling and dealing, because then I got to put everything together for the next Saturday. But if you have a chance, come on out and enjoy the fun. So
you're saying the if there's going to be any more groups joining, like as far as need a pop-up, like an adoption group or a veterinarian, we should have them in by the 20th?
Everything needs to be in by the 20th.
Okay.
And what Marianne's doing is she's just referring Pete's to me.
Perfect.
And then I just say, Marianne said,
is that the best to do? If I get a
process? It's working. Just send it to me. And I would say, Chris said to send this to you. If you have any questions, please call Chris.
All right.
And that's what I've been doing.
I'm just calling some rescue groups.
Yeah, but we're trying to wrap it up. So it should be a really big event. Hopefully everybody shows up.
Mm-hmm.
One is good.
Be out of town, unfortunately.
So
I'll be here in spirit.
I
you got
too.
It.
I want to adopt
the we'll videotape. Anyway, that's update on Paws on Parade.
All right, now we'll move on to D6 Summer Recreation Program update.
All right. Turn it over to Mac.
Thank you. Sorry, Mike. I'm just
that's all right.
All right. So just kind of give you a quick update. The activities guide has gone to print for summer 2018. So I just wanted to give you a real quick highlight of all the things that we have going on. First of all, the tennis bay or the Discovery Bay tennis tournament has been canceled, just so you know. I think the group just kind of the logistical issues were a little too much, and it's like, you know what, we'll come back and we'll revisit that another day. The intent of that was, again, kind of the intent, which, you know, is raising money through whatever to support a particular project. So that has been canceled, but we'll revisit again. Summer recreation program update. Let's see, on that one. Currently, just so you guys know, we have 3 staff on for the front counter right now. We have 5 lifeguards being processed to come back. We just did a group of 6 interviews the other day. 5 lifeguards, 1 front desk. We're looking to complete another round of interviews next Tuesday after the lifeguard class that's here this weekend. So if you get a chance, you want to swing down and look at it. We're working with Safety Pros out of Sacramento. They're running the training program for us. Not everybody that's in there is from the area, but in order to make it work so our kids have a place to go right here in town, that's what we do. So they're running it. Hopefully, 16 to 20 staff, like we had last year, would be perfect. They're not all working at the same time. We just have different shifts throughout the summer. So the aquatics program, just real quick, river otters are continuing. They're switching from afternoons to morning once school's out. So right now they're in the afternoons. Yep, they're kind of out there doing their thing right now. They're here Monday, or once school is out. Right now they're here Monday through Thursday in the afternoons. Once school is out, they'll be here Monday through Fridays in the mornings, 7 to 11. And also note that the staff did complete an MOU with the river otters this year, so that was a huge step.
Thank you.
So at least everything we agreed to is in writing, so if everybody switches, we know what was happening and why. The town's sticking with a very traditional Memorial Day to Labor Day aquatic program. We'll close on Labor Day, so Brian can start construction the next day, hopefully. Public swim operations will continue to do a Thursday through Monday, being closed on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. That seems to work for public swim. We'll continue with that particular program into this year. Our swim lesson program, we've got 6 sessions to be offered Monday through Thursdays, generally 2 weeks, about 6 sessions total during the course of the summer. We'll have morning classes, evening classes. We have adult lap swim Monday through Friday starting in May, and they will also get it in August. That's 18 plus, no lifeguards. They can just come in and swim so long as they sign a waiver. Special interest programs and activities. This summer we have Kids Love Soccer, dance classes, tennis camps and classes, play camps, paint clamps, archery camp. Don't run in front of archery folks. They get kind of pissed about that. Online driver's ed. We have safety power boat handling. It's a new program. We have Zumba, community garden. We currently have 19 leased out right there, and nothing illegal so far. Okay. Special events this summer. We've got 2 summer jams. First summer jam coming up June 2nd. The featured band is For Jour, a tribute to Foreigner and Journey. So that's the first band coming up. Movies in the Park starts June 15th. We have Spider-Man, Homecoming, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Jumanji, Coco, Star Wars, Last Jedi, Grease, the sing-along version, which Gina really likes. We'll have to ask her about that. And then Cars 3. We also will have Cool by the Pool, an evening party in the pool. We've got a Red Cross blood drive coming up, and Rad Kids.
And the June 23rd.
Anniversary
celebration from 11 to 2. We'll be doing free hot dogs and soda sponsored by Veolia. And we will have dignitary speeches from 12 to 12:30. So we'd like to see you out there for that, especially. We're inviting the original board and honoring them and honoring the current board. So then and now. And we're going to have a jumpy thing and face painting. It'll be an open free swim day. And we're looking to potentially have a couple bands, but that's iffy. And then that will lead into one of the movie nights, not to steal your thunder.
Nope, there you go. And in case you didn't remember everything we just said, the activities got to be out the first part of May. You'll get it in the mail, and you can look through there and see everything that we just talked about. And this one is a 24-page edition.
That's a what?
24-page edition.
You have the pipeline in.
Anniversary edition.
Do we get any sponsorships on that?
We actually had a few ads in there this time. The Lions Club always buys the back page. I reserved that for them. One of the senior pages, there's a 4-page ad in there. We have another quarter page ad in the youth dance section. And then we did a complimentary ad, the report page for the Rad Kids program, the one where the county sheriff is doing with the kids. We did that, and I think that's about it. Oftentimes with that, you can't charge a whole lot, and it's like, do we spend the time on that, or do we spend the time on getting programs and activities? Because we're only charging them like $95 for a quarter page, and the guide usually runs a couple thousand bucks anyway, so... Sometimes you just have to go, is it worth $95? Probably not. But if we stumble on something, of course, and if we have room, we'll sell it.
How do you become an advertiser?
We've got stuff that's on our website continually. Okay. I update it all the time. Right. I also have stuff on the right.
So I just sent a chamber member to the website if they wanted to help out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There's a form in there. Carol does a great job of making sure my forms stay all there.
Awesome.
And then I just get in with her and make sure that we update it.
The chamber has a monthly meeting.
That's right.
They need a speaker, right?
Yep.
Mac went down at the chamber meeting at lunch and give a presentation on advertising opportunities. Mm-hmm. You hit them all at one time.
There you go.
And you have the samples of our past, you know, some of the overruns from mm-hmm. the other thing. Here you go. We need 20 of you to sign up. I don't care which 20, but 20 of you need to sign up. I'll see you later. Chris, take care of it.
There you go.
Oh, business card page.
There you go.
That's all good. And I appreciate it. That's good.
And, you know, that, and do the same. You go to the Lions Club. You don't
yeah.
speak girls.
Yeah. What I try to do, too, is also make sure it has something kind of related to recreation as well that's in there.
Well,
so.
That's fine. But
yeah.
even a pizza parlor guy can take an ad out in the rec mm-hmm. commercial and say, come over, bitch, and say, ad or two for one, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, a pizza
no, no
party. Dentist could be in there. You
mm-hmm.
got to clean your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Barbershop, a beauty salon for the moms. I mean, everybody.
Put that right by the pool thing, yeah. So
so there's a lot of opportunity, I think,
yeah.
to sell it. But not, and I'm with
yeah.
you. We can't,
yeah.
You can't turn into an advertising salesman.
Right.
You can go out there and hit them all and spend 1 hour and hit a bunch of them.
He said it's a quarterly or an half hour. We print twice a year.
We print three times a year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But sign them up for three times a year. Sign them one time, get three shots.
Keep on hanging on to that magazine.
Fitting? That's always hard to tell.
It's
I mean,
a coffee table.
Out,
yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or this is a,
we know it's on Mike's yeah. coffee table, yeah.
Okay, with that, we'll move on to D7, Community Swimming Pool Update.
You're going to see this tonight on the agenda. We below this, we have the water meter presentation. I'm going to ask our president to move that above that and then have a recess before we bring this up, but Brian will give you kind of the good news and the bad news about the bid.
Well, we sent out an RFP from the direction of the board. We sent an RFP out, and we only had two bidders come back. One was the original bidder who I brought in at the meeting. The second one was almost double. It was double the price of the other bidder. Our biggest problem with the DIR is we have a very short list of contractors to work with. I went back and looked through the Farron's record. She contacted five pool contractors. Three of them actually bid on the project that they did, and two of them that did the work won't return our calls. So we lost two pool contractors there. I was able to contact four pool contractors, and only two of them bid on the project. This is more than just repairing the pool. We need to establish a relationship with a swimming pool contractor because we are going to have problems in the future with everything. Any type of equipment that you replace now has to be permitted through the health department and the building department. Otherwise, they cite us and shut us down. So we need to establish a relationship with a swimming pool contractor that we can call up when we have a problem and they'll come out and help us out.
Who does Brentwood contract with, you know, Matt?
Brentwood does in-house.
Oh.
Well, it's full service city. So.
Would they be open? I know, like in the police department, some police departments have a shooting range, and they'll contract, sell that time out to others to come in and use it. Mm-hmm. Would it be willing to pay something, somebody, something? As a form of revenue generation for the city of town of Brentwood, but they send their pool guy, who's in the water, I don't know what, how it's working, to come and be our pool service.
I don't know. I could ask.
I don't know. I'm doubtful. I would very doubtful, but I.
Well, theirs would have to come first, actually, but I don't know if they got the maintenance guys or.
Well, they're city employees. I don't know how that would go over in terms of you, city employee coming over here.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty,
it gets complicated.
You know, about the only thing you can do that with is what they call mutual aid, and that's more than fire or the police. But
how about the guy that's the best one over there and he does it on the weekend? We hire him direct.
We're trying to get away from that because it's not very reliable.
It's not reliable, and it's,
well, we can't hold them accountable.
And then our other problem is, when they did the equipment, they put it into a structure that was unsafe to be in, and on top of that, they actually pointed it out to everyone that it was unsafe to be in by shoring up the roof. We did take the roof off of that building. We get written up every year by our safety people about having a building that, one, is not safe to be in, and two, doesn't have a roof. And we've got $25,000 worth of controllers in there alone that the rain isn't supposed to be hitting. So that's another issue. We're asking if we can do an RFP to put in the building. It's kind of
correct.
A secondary type of structure.
I guess the question that I will have, if we spend the $170 or something?
Yeah, we're looking at about $226,000.
For the pool and the building?
Yeah.
So now we spend $250,000. Is that all? Is it good to go?
No, you're going to be constantly spending money on the pool.
Well, I know there's ongoing maintenance. You've got life filters and you've
got
to
buy this. We've got 1 year left and we've got to replace all the covers. For the safety covers that are in the return lines for the pool, they have a life of 5 years, and then you have to replace all of them, which means hiring a diver to go down in the pool and replace those. That's another reason we need a pool company, because they have that specialty. All of this stuff is tied with the health department, and everything has a life on it. We've already burned up the motor in our main pump, and that has to be replaced. But now to replacing, the county health department has a log of all of our numbers and all of our equipment. If we replace something out there without pulling permits to the county, and they come out and inspect it, they'll cite us and they'll close it down.
You have to pull a permit to change the pump?
Yes, you do. Yeah, they want permits for everything. There's a list. There's a very short list of what you can and can't do now. It's because they're starved for money.
Well,
everyone needs money.
So and which company are you proposing?
I'm proposing the Adams Pool Solutions. They were still the low bidder. Their bid went from 126 to 176.
And that was the range for bids, two bids?
No, that was their bid. The second bid was $381,000.
To cover everything. A new pool.
No.
But the price is a new pool.
No, the price of a new pool is about $1.5 million.
Okay.
Yeah. No, the low bid was $176,000. The second bid was $381,000.
The pool's
double the price.
A darker, deep cavern for money than the building.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
In 2014, you spent $20,000. Well, the town spent $20,000 on equipment, and then they spent another $55,000 replacing the pool. At that time, Lookout Pool said, you need to replace your piping. It'll cost you $65,000 to do that, and it was not put through. So now we're paying the price to go back and do that, because the pool was stripped and open.
Okay, so the issue is this money that would be put into it if we accept this bid is we're going to have good bones now,
yeah,
with the pool. So we're going to have a good skeleton there. We're going to have good, you know, the infrastructure is going to all be done and should give us long life. But the things that will always need maintenance and replacement, you know, remain the same.
The interest of life for years and owners die, and you got to keep dealing with that. Okay.
Yeah. But what's under the pool and in the pool now is going to be good bones.
And we think that the pool's going to stop leaking at that point?
Yes.
That's the hard part, is that leak. Or whatever,
think,
whatever evaporation's occurring.
I put in 3/4 of an inch of water every day, year round. That's why it's so clear.
This
is good, DB water.
No, if you keep putting fresh water into a pool on a regular basis, they stay pretty clear.
Yeah.
But the downside is we're leaching chemicals. Mm-hmm. So our chemical costs go up.
What, let's assume for a moment the river otters weren't here and they weren't using the pool.
Mm-hmm.
How much pool usage? I know in the summertime, what, you get 100 kids?
Memorial Day to Labor Day is really good.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's the pool season.
Yeah.
That's, you know, school's out.
At a buck ahead.
That was the biggest money maker, was our pool.
Well, again, that's another one.
I got some of your questions. It's just, I was going to take me some time to kind of put this stuff together for you so that I can answer those questions.
Yeah, it's just, do you want to operate a pool? That's kind of what we're looking at. You know, do you want to spend money on operating a pool?
If the pool was not there when this building was purchased, we probably would not be putting in a pool.
Correct. And believe me, I'd be a lot happier if we didn't have a pool.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of work. I'm at the pool a minimum of 2 hours a day.
We had someone that we sent to get pool certified, and Tracy now has it.
Oh.
Yeah.
So if you were to work with the Tony Adams Pool Company, that maybe they might have some people to help you on that support?
It's not, I don't think it's Tony Adams. There's two different Adams.
Oh, well, whoever Adams Pool it is.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, that's, and they're in from Pleasanton, so they're local.
That's fine.
See, I need someone who can, you know, when we have a problem, I can't do it. The county doesn't want me to do the work.
Yeah.
They do not want us to do that work in-house. If we're a city, we could have an in-house staff.
Adams Pool's trucks are in Discovery Bay every day. Their trucks are out here every day servicing the pools.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We need someone who can come in and help us. It's more than just... And beyond that, it's a safety issue of blending the chemicals correctly into the
pool. So we got kind of two paths. So we can just shut the pool down after the season, and or we can fix it for a 5-year plan or a 2-year plan, or I don't know.
I think if you're going to keep operating the pool, we should repair it.
Okay. If you're not, you should turn it into a skateboard.
There you go.
Yeah, it would work.
Okay,
we'll discuss it further. Let's see.
Yep.
Okay, we'll go to D8, Discovery Bay Zone.
Okay, this is mine, and unfortunately, because of workload, I've not been able to prepare what I wanted to prepare for this meeting, but I will give you an overview of things to come. There's two prongs on this Discovery Bay Zones. One is that we want to... We wanted to provide some paperwork and some dialogue with a zone consultant that looks at putting zones together and whether you can assess them and analyzing whether we should take on parks or whatever, and how we can generate more revenue to adequately fund the maintenance of the park. So that's one prong, and I'm in the process of trying to get some figures and analyze these things in a way that they can make sense and give us a good report. So that's going to be taking place when time allows. The issue with the zones are that we have, and you can jump in at any time, Brian. We have Zone 57, which is Regatta Park.
The Syntex Homes by Safeway.
Okay, well, the first thing is we have a maintenance agreement that started in 2008, and I didn't bring it here, but just as an overview, it's the most one-sided agreement I've ever seen in my life, and it essentially says that we will take on all the liability for anything that happens in that park We'll carry insurance to do so, and no matter what it is, you're responsible for it. And what's happening now is these trees that they put in and are having roots undergrowth.
So mature now.
We're getting claims coming in, and we are now responsible to buy the to take care of these claims. Well, our claims have deductibles. So the interesting thing about this agreement is they won't let us take out of the money that we receive for that zone money to pay the claim out of the maintenance agreement. They say there's no room for this. So not only are they not giving us enough money to maintain the park, to provide capital improvements in the park, they are not letting us take money out of the budget to pay a portion of the storage of equipment over here at the firehouse. They said, no, can't do it. The $500 deductible, where are we supposed to get that money to pay for that? So they don't care. So we need to take a really, 57 is the worst example of this, but sure. We have other issues that we're just leaving ourselves open on Zone 35, which is the footbridge. We need to be considering in the future whether or not we want to go, you know what, Kenny?
Yeah.
Here you go, because it's just a loser. And people are going to say, well, you know, we took this on because we wanted control. And I go, when you take it on, you're responsible. And why are we heading out? Why are we engaged in a losing proposition if we can't, one, through the consultants, arrange something that may be a good idea, or two, we just give it back and let them take the blame because it's their park and they're responsible for it.
I think it's time to renegotiate. Look at that economy.
Well, that's one of the things that we would do is if we said, well, and part of the issue and the strategy of all this is that we may turn around and say, we want to keep Slifer. We can deal with Slifer for the money that they give us, and they have some reserves
there.
That
zone is well funded.
That zone is well funded. It's the other stuff that's killing us, and so we have to be prepared that if we turn around and says, you know what, you take Zone 57 back, we're done, and we're going to take 35 with it. They may come back and go, well, if you're not going to do the maintenance on this, you're not going to do the maintenance on any of them what we have. Now, currently, we're two landscapers short because one is resigned to take a position with Tracy and the other one is injured. But the fact of the matter is if they do that, you know, we would not hire someone to take the place of the person who resigned. And we would still have enough between Zone 8, Zone 9, and 61, well, 61 Slifer.
Yeah.
Well, we can keep everybody on if we have that, right?
Yeah.
But if we lose Slifer, we're going to be down to three landscapers, but it's not like we'd have to lay somebody off. So we're going to wait on hiring till we can make some kind of a decision. And that's my overview.
So kind of like the feasibility that we've gone through the last couple of years on who owns what, and either we're going to consolidate or we're going to push back on the county. I think we're on the right path. I would say accelerate.
We cannot continue down this path.
Correct. Yeah. Something has to change.
When
do you think you would have the ability to get the information to the consultant to analyze all this stuff?
I was hoping to have what I was going to produce, some raw figures that I was going to produce for them for you today. I'm going on vacation. We've got, we're very busy right now. And so we're probably looking at a month. I hope to have a healthy, I hope if the next meeting's in 2 months, they've already provided the consultant with enough information for you to get feedback from them.
Okay, so we would hope to have feedback
prior to
the next meeting.
Yes.
Prior to the next meeting,
yes.
50 days.
That's my hope.
We do a minimum service for 57. I can only mow 40 weeks a year. We can't even mow 52 weeks, and we only get one day a month in Zone 57. So it's kind of an injustice to the people over there too.
And then we have what, cracked basketball court.
We've already had a claim. We have $2,500 claim for a sewer, and the county's response was, well, we'll take out the big trees, we'll do it in phases and put in smaller trees. Well, as soon as I got prices for them, they threw it away. And we've got another sewer problem, potential sewer problem, but tree roots are lifting the patio, and they're paying for that, so there's no consistency in what they're doing. They're going to pay to have the tree removed.
Tree removed, but not the damage.
No, but not the damage to the property.
So they're saying that's on
them. It's not on us, it's their property.
Yeah. And then we had another,
contract said it's on us. We agreed to that in 2008.
When was the contract up?
Oh, you can cancel.
30 days.
30 days.
30 days notice.
It's
either either party.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and what they would do is they'd just turn around and contract it out.
Yeah,
to a landscape company.
Somebody.
Yeah, but at least we won't be paying out any more claims, and at least when people call up and this park looks like a shambles, we're going to go contact the Diane Burgess. Correct. So that's my report.
Okay. All right. We look forward to hopefully good news 60 days. Okay. Any future items? Seeing none, I move to adjourn. We're adjourned.
Ready.